Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What's Right with Men, a weekly radio program dedicated to exploring and discussing what it means to be a man in a post-feminist world. Now here are your hosts, John Freeman and Roger Wetzel.
Well, good afternoon and evening, everyone, and hello, John. Welcome to another show.
Hello, Roger. Great to be here.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Cool.
You?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. And we have an interesting show today, and it has to do with empowerment. So let me give out the number if you would like to call us. Join in on the discussion. We'd love to have you. The number is area code 347-205-9869. That's 347-205-9869. So, John, you wrote an article on our website. Hello? Last week. About... Well, this is the beauty of live radio. Someone is calling in, but we can't get a hold of them. And so, John, are you there?
Well, I'm here, and I'm seeing that there's something called or somebody called Supernatural.
Oh yeah, so, yeah. Anyway, so
and that seems to be what it is, something supernatural.
Exactly. And we must be empowered already so we can be in the show right now. Anyhow, so the concept of the show today came out of an article that you wrote on our website blog. So can you kind of give everybody an idea that hasn't read that article what you wrote?
Oh, goodness me, that was a couple of weeks ago. I'm supposed to remember what I write.
Yeah, actually.
Okay, so, well, I don't know if I can say what I wrote, but I have a strong feeling about empowerment as a topic, because what I see is that in the midst of everything that's gone on for people, particularly in the last few decades, what we've done is we've given our power away, and that there's a whole way of thinking that's out there in the world which says that It's a material world in which stuff just happens to us and we kind of can't do anything about it. And there's a lot of ways of thinking which would have to do with us being victims to circumstance rather than people who have some capacity to create and choose our reality. And all of that, to me, needs to shift.
Right. I mean, something that kind of stuck out for me in what you wrote, it says, and I obviously you were talking about looking up, I think it kind of came up when you were Googling men's empowerment or something. And what you wrote, which I thought was interesting, if something doesn't stack up here, does this mean that because men have all the power, they don't need empowerment? Is the concept that because women don't have power, they have to empower themselves, that cannot be right. Disempowered people wielding power would lead to all sorts of dysfunction, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so, and it does. And I came up with that because I couldn't find anybody who was talking about empowered men. The concept didn't exist. The concept of empowered women existed, but it just wasn't anything that anybody was writing about or doing anything about.
Right. And that and it's funny because when I read that, it was like it kind of set me off, set me off into a place where I started questioning the whole concept of empowerment. Like, what the hell is empowerment, you know? And I know that, so again, you know, my whole thing about how do we define the words we're using? And so I set about, for me anyway, to kind of get clear on what that means. And I think you struck on it a minute ago about when you said something about the idea that we need other people. Did you say that? To help us get empowered, or was that just something?
I don't think I said that just now, but you may have pulled it out of my thoughts, because I certainly...
Awesome.
I certainly believe that there's a blend of things going on that we won't find empowerment on our own, and yet we do have it all within us. So there's a kind of paradox in it.
Yeah, I think for me, and in discussing empowerment, I think there is a underlying belief by a lot of people who are in the empowerment movement that there's a sense of victimhood, right? It's like if you're not empowered, then you're a victim. And that really just drives me nuts, because I don't think any of us really are victims. And I'll kind of talk about that. I want to talk about that later, because I think that there's some work that's been done around that that's really, really eye-opening. But, you know, I think, like we were talking earlier about the whole, or before the show, about the fact that the word empowerment, what does it mean, right? So here, I looked up the word, and in the Merriam-Webster online dictionary of empower, the word empower means to give official authority or legal power to, right? So an empowered her attorney to act on her behalf. And then it says enable 1A, and then it says to promote the self-actualization or influence of, and then in parentheses, it's women's movement has been inspiring and empowering women. And some guy named Ron Hansen put that in there. But before we get off on a tangent, we have a caller. So let's chat with the person who's calling in. So hello. Hi.
This is
Who's
Chris.
This? Hey, Chris, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Well, yes. I got on a little late to the show, and right away I just felt like calling in. I felt like, hey, I need to talk to you guys. Empowerment?
Yeah.
You guys are saying you need to look within, but you need somebody else to help? Are you guys for real? Are you really?
What do you mean?
Well,
do we really? No, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what I heard, and I came in late, was that you need help as a man to get empowered. But then...
No, that's not what I was trying to say.
Okay.
But
you also
know
you have to go within, so it's a paradox. Is that correct?
What I said was we can't do this on our own, and yes, we do have to go within, and yes, there is a place that is not familiar to a lot of people, because of the way that we're kind of educated to think that there's just this kind of random material world that is out there happening to us that we have no, very little say in, and no control of over our own destiny. So, you know, it's not what we're taught to do. It's not what we're brought up to do. They don't teach us about it in school, that we can go within, or that we have an influence on the world which arises from how we think about it and how we think about ourselves. So yes, there is a going within that is a big piece of the journey to finding our own power. But I'm saying that we can't do it on our own because I have a perspective on the whole, the whole context of this show, actually, which was about the question we ask at the beginning, which is, you know, what's the future for men and women in a post-feminist world? And what's happened up to now is that there's been this great and wonderful empowerment movement which has been there for women, and there's been a kind of underneath, in some places, there's been the push that's been against men. And it would be quite easy now to go into a place of saying, well, men just need to do in that arena what women have been doing so that they can be empowered too. But that isn't the whole story for me. The whole story would be that if we all want to get beyond that, then we actually have to do something together. But as men and women, in which we support each other into a new world that isn't either of those old worlds. And that's why I talked about not doing it on our own.
Okay, well, a few things came up for me. I understand that, but this goes along with what I said last time I called in, and it's an inside job. Other people might give you a... Uh-oh. That's my alarm to call you guys. It's an inside job. Other people can give you a clue, or if you're intuitive, you can find people and clues that help you on the path. But it's truly an inside job. Now, I don't think a person really would be benefited by being in a relationship with another person until they had found their own self-empowerment. Because that's what makes two people whole, so they can come together in their wholeness, not in their weakness. But this whole thing, can't do it on your own, and I don't want to offend anyone, almost sounds like victimhood to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a whole industry built around empowering other people.
Right. It's right? A joke.
Well, I don't disagree with you, and I don't think John would disagree with that either.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Good. Good. So, everybody, what the thing is becoming in integrity with yourself, no matter if you're male or female, and not making excuses for anything, just taking total responsibility for what you say, what you do, and if you mess up, you forgive yourself and do better next time.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question. In regard to this whole thing with empowerment, especially around, when John Googled men's empowerment and you didn't find much of anything, but I'm sure if you Google women's empowerment, you'll find probably hundreds of thousands of websites or links that you can go to find out how women can be empowered, but as a woman, how do you see that whole thing of being empowered and like the empowerment women movement for women?
Well,
because I'll give you an example. Yesterday I googled Dalai Lama empowerment, okay? And a video came up, and I watched it. The title was The Dalai Lama Speech on Women's Empowerment, okay? I thought, oh, this is going to be good. The Dalai Lama is going to address women's empowerment. And I watched the whole video clip, and at one point, the Dalai Lama said, quote, now male and female now enjoy equal rights, equal status. That is very, very important. And then I went and watched the rest of the video. And I was disappointed because I didn't hear the Dalai Lama speaking about women's empowerment. I heard him talking about equal rights for men and women. So as a woman, how do you see this whole women's empowerment movement, dynamic, whatever?
Well, that's what appears as is in our in our world today as we perceive it. That's what appears to be happening. So that's what is. So it's up to, I guess, you guys to just deal with that. You know, we've dealt with, you know, having to finally win the vote, and I don't believe we're still getting the same wages for the same job. You know, we've just had to deal with it. And that's the way our society has been set up. So now women are getting all this empowerment blurb or whatever. Well, you deal with it and you find ways to rise above it, to overcome it. That's what it's all about. And, yeah, there's no...
Chris?
Huh. Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, Chris, but I wanted to ask you a question. In your journey to empowerment, have you been helped by anybody?
My journey is a little different, but I've been taken in by others. You know, I used to go to every guru and anybody I could find to help me because I have a physical illness. And I just felt like there was something I was doing that was wrong. And so I just went and searched for everyone. I was taken in by people. People used their power and their ego to control and undermine, and you could just see right away. And after a while, I just said, this is all BS. Has anyone helped me? They've helped me probably get a little jaded. The most help I receive is, you know, maybe listening to a program or a meditation or, you know, just going within. A while ago, I got so confused, I almost stopped seeing a whole group of people. Because I was so taken in by what they were saying, I couldn't figure out where my voice was. So I went within at that point. And I'm empowered because I went within. And maybe that's just the way it works for me. But I don't think it has to do with a gender.
No, and I neither do I. The reason I asked the question, I'm sorry if you've had that the kind of time you've had. I don't have any wish to support anybody who disempowers others. But I ask the question because whatever my journey has been, and whatever empowerment I now might consider myself to have. I know that I have been hugely supported, and probably that most of that support has come from women.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that I disagree with the notion that it's an inside job, but I do have the perception that we can support each other. I mean, I'm sorry, the people you've been encountering are people who didn't support
but
I don't think that means that you couldn't have had support, or that there aren't people out there who might have supported you.
Correct.
And so when I talk about us doing it together, that's where I'm coming from, is that I think if men and women are going to find a new place in the future, actually we need to be having a conversation that is both about us supporting the inner journey that we each make and about a new kind of conversation in the outer journey.
Oh, I agree. I agree totally. And I know you're whole premise is relationship based, and I understand that. And
I wouldn't say my whole premise or our whole premise is relationship based. I think relationships are incredibly important, and I think I maybe talk a lot about relationships because that's one of the places where I think we've messed up really badly, and that isn't doing many people much good.
Then we get to figure out something that works, and what works for another couple won't work for you. So you sit down and you figure it out on your own with your mate, with your significant other, because we know what doesn't work, and it's most of what we've been taught.
So can we get back to the topic here for a second, which is this bullshit idea about empowerment? And I want to go back to the question I was asking you, Chris, about the quote that I read from the Dalai Lama.
Okay.
Because I think that there's this idea out there in the world that empowerment, obviously the person that posted that video on YouTube of the Dalai Lama talking about empowerment was nothing of the sort. Equal rights for men and women across the board, personally, I don't see is empowerment.
I don't.
It's like talking about apples and oranges, right? It's like you and John were just talking about. It's like, empowerment is about becoming conscious of who we are as a being and living in that place of wandering around on this planet, being aware, being in gratitude, loving ourselves, and not needing anything from the outside of us to tell us that we're okay or that we're all right, or that if we just did this, we would be better off. For me, that living like that is being self-empowered. And it's not going to come...
Totally.
Go ahead.
I agree totally.
And so that's where I have, that's where I have the whole issue with this concept of empowerment, because it's like a garbage can that somebody's put a sign on and said, inside of this garbage can, you're going to find empowerment. And people have put everything that they can think of inside of there as being, okay, if you do this, you're going to be empowered. If you do that, you're going to be empowered. I have some examples of that I'll share in a minute. But I just think that there's, again, how are we defining empowerment? And for me, like I said, equal rights is not in being empowered. It's just equal rights.
I agree.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I don't know whether there's somebody else who's listening who might feel inclined to call in about this, but one of the things that makes me a little nervous is the feeling that the three of us can be having this conversation, and we actually do have a sense of what empowerment is that's pretty much along the lines that you just articulated, Roger, and that this conversation we have about what comes from within, this is not a normal conversation in the world, that there's an awful lot of people in the world who wouldn't even kind of grasp the edges of what we're talking about, and that there may be even people who are listening to this show for whom what we've said doesn't really make sense. Because it's easy for us to use these words, and when we've been through that journey, if you haven't been through that journey, what is it that makes the words we're using even meaningful, talking about it's an inside job?
You know what, that's really important what you brought up, because yes, you've got to come up with a way, well, I guess we do, talking about that so it draws people in and other people understand that, yes. But I'd like to say, hey, Janet, if somebody's in the queue and wants to talk, you tell me and I'll hang up. Okay.
Well, let me, you know, one of the things that I mentioned a minute ago is, okay, so how is, like, this garbage can with the word empower on it, what does it look like? Like what's on the inside, what's been thrown in there, okay? So I Googled this, and it's fascinating when you do that, because you get all sorts of really interesting information, okay? So if you don't mind, I'm going to share what some of the things that I found in there. So from Wikipedia, they talk about sociological empowerment, addressing members or groups that social discrimination processes have excluded from decision-making processes through discrimination based on disability, race, ethnicity, religion, or gender. Okay. And businessdictionary.com, empowerment is based on the idea that giving employees skills, resources, authority, opportunity, and motivation, as well as holding them responsible and accountable for outcomes of their actions, will contribute to the competence and to their competence and satisfaction. The World Bank has a definition of empowerment, which is enhancing the capacity of individuals or groups to make choices and transform those choices and desired actions and outcomes. The University of Colorado has one which has to do with groups and not having quote-unquote power and allowing them to, it says here, the most common use of the term empowerment refers to increasing the power of low power group so it more nearly equals the power of the high power group, all right? So as you can see, what are we talking about when we talk about empowerment?
Roger, I mean, I think we have kind of got there. Yes, those are different kinds of empowerment. Those are perfectly reasonable definitions in their context for me. It's just that when we talk about empowerment, we're looking for something else, and maybe we have to use the same word, and it would be great if we had another word that we could use instead. To represent the personal sense of having some kind of jurisdiction over our own existence and some kind of influence on the world which relates to who we are as beings. The sense that we are not these kind of small consciousnesses trapped in bodies deciding what to eat each day, that there's actually something bigger than that going on. Because that's
absolutely
my reality. That's the one that I want to share with people. And I think, you know, I'm pretty sure it's your reality, Roger, and it's the reality that Chris is talking about.
Well, it's self-empowerment then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about self-empowerment. Okay, Chris, thank you very much for calling in, and I think we have another caller.
Oh, good. Okay, well,
so we'll talk to you soon.
With you guys. Bye-bye now.
Take care.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. This is Steve calling.
Hi, Steve.
I've been listening to your program, and, you know, self-empowerment is really like an onion. There's so many layers to it. And empowerment means so many things to so many different people, whether you're male, whether you're female, gay, straight, black, white, whatever. I don't think there's any real definition that you can put on what it is to be self-empowered. Now, what I would suggest here, if you don't really understand that you consciously create your own reality, then you are a victim because you don't understand the beliefs and attitudes, thoughts and feelings, choices and decisions that you are making directly influence the outcome of the events in your life. And
absolutely.
And if you're not doing the inner work with your subconscious, unconscious minds, well, then you're not clearing out the stuff that stands in your way as well. So, yeah, there are victims in this world. Clearly there are. And if you were to go into a place like Somalia and say, well, you create your own reality, they're going to look at you strangely and laugh and think, what the hell are you talking about?
Exactly.
I'm being oppressed by this regime.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting the food, the water, the medicine that we need. What do you mean I'm creating this reality? So, you know, it's a very sticky subject in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think, you know, it depends on who you are and what your station is in life. And I think if you live in a country like the UK or the United States, you have more choices than many other people in this world have. And you have different levels of awareness, self-awareness, and awareness of what's going on politically, socially and economically. And that really determines your level of self-empowerment. And there's a lot of billions of people on this planet that don't have access to that information. And I think you really need to take that into account when you're talking about what is self-empowerment. Well, it's different for each of us. It's different for you, John, and it's different for you, Roger, just as it's different for Janet, and it's different for myself and Chris.
Absolutely.
We each have to define it for ourselves. The consensus cannot define it for us. And I think Chris is right. You need to go within and find the meaning and the value for yourself. And I don't really think there's a blanket statement that you can make. So
I totally agree with everything you said, Steve, and I think you've put it very clearly. I think where it keeps leading me back to is kind of towards the question that I was asking Chris before, or what I was saying to Chris before, which is that what I really like is a way of talking about empowerment in the terms that you're using for people like us. How do we talk about it? How do we express it? What can we say to people who aren't yet, who have the same kind of possibilities as we do in terms of living in the same society with the same freedoms and choices and the same materials available to them, but who don't kind of understand yet what it would mean to make that choice and how they make it? What is it that we say that turns empowerment into something real for people who haven't quite grasped that yet?
Well, that's a very good question. First of all, you have to be willing and awake enough to want to find the answers. And a lot of people aren't in that space and in that place to make those kinds of cognitive choices. And that's really about, are you leading a life of self-awareness, self-examination, what impact you have by your statements, and by your actions. You know, if you're not in that place, you're not going to be empowered in the ways that you that would be more freeing and more liberating, I think. Getting back to my example of people in Somalia, you know, you throw that kind of information at them, and they're just going to, you know, first of all, they don't have the building blocks to even understand the basic concepts of it. And what they're concerned about is the day-to-day needs of survival. And once you, you know, you clothe and feed them and you get rid of the domination and control that exists so oppressively there, then they can start to look at these other things. And I think it's more of a luxury for people that are in a Western, in the Western world, because they are better educated and they have more access to information and they have more leisure time to examine these kinds of things.
I think we have the luxury of opportunity. I don't. I think the one thing I'd not go with in what you've said is that my perspective is that it isn't a luxury in the sense that I think it's a necessity. If this planet is not going to kind of spiral down into bigger messes than it's in right now, we actually need more people to be conscious and to be working with awareness and
absolutely
to be using that empowerment. And so that's why there's a kind of urgency in me that I keep coming back to this question, you know, of what we can do to communicate to other people, why they should join us, you know, what's in it for them? If you aren't on this journey, what's in it for you? To be honest, and I know that, you know, my reality is that who I was 20, 30 years ago was a completely different sort of person, and that's not just that I've got older and wiser, it is really a completely different sort of person, and that I think there's a huge benefit in taking the journey, and I want to encourage people to join in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm sure, Roger, you are in the same space, because I know you've also, in a completely different way, done your own journey too.
Right, and I think that, you know, Steve, I agree with you. I think that there's different life conditions that exist on the planet that definitely, in conjunction with other things, has created an environment where we live today that we're able to examine and do the internal work that needs to be done. You know, and we had someone send us a message and then they had to leave, but what she said is that there's different levels of development, which is very true as well.
Yes.
And so it's like when you started out when you called in, Steve, you said that it's like peeling back an onion, and that's definitely the case. I know for myself, just speaking for myself, that's been what's taken place in my journey of self-empowerment. And, you know, like John mentioned earlier when he was talking to Chris and asking Chris about, you know, if she got help along the way, there's no way I could have done this and gotten to the place where I am today in isolation. So
absolutely, you need the feedback of the world so that you can see, you know, is my process working or not? Do I need to take a different approach? You know, we need that process and we need that feedback.
Right.
And it's the things that challenge us that make us grow and make us hopefully reach and stretch for more and to become more in the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the whole discussion is fascinating because I think that It's about, and I think the English language probably is part of the issue here, because, you know, we've grown up in a world where, you know, we can say, for example, the word two, and it's like, well, what, how many different meanings are there for that? There are at least three that I know of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at, and so then we have the word empowerment. So what does that mean? I mean, I think it's become one of these words where people just, like, throw things at it, and all of a sudden it becomes their own definition. But when we look at it from a different perspective, it's like, okay, are we talking about empowerment as a culture, as a society, or are we talking about self-empowerment? We're taking self-responsibility for who we are and how we're living our life and who we're becoming, right?
Right, and I think the latter is more the case. It's really spot on.
Right.
Yeah, and on top of that, I want to suggest there may be something even more than that. And I think that maybe the reason we struggle with language is because part of what we're talking about is a different reality than the one that has been, because it's a reality that's engaged with some of the sort of more metaphysical aspects of life, some of the things which don't happen in the visible and material world. And most of the language that we're using is language that was kind of derived from a way of thinking and a way of perceiving reality that is only based on that material view of the world. You know, it's mm-hmm. the one that science has, that we go to school and we're trained in a certain way of thinking, and, you know, that includes science and it includes everything that people have come up with to kind of, not just to throw out the old religions, but to throw out the whole notion of there being anything that exists which has any spiritual content or context at all. And, you know, has definitely taken out a part of what many people on this planet who are perhaps less concerned about empowerment, but who are actually living in a relationship with something spiritual, they know that it's there, and they're not yet blinded by the science that we've taken on. And we have to take off the blinkers that we've put on or had put on us in order to see the way that reality truly is or truly could be. Because until we can do that, the notion of being self-empowered and the notion of being a creative force in our own lives, it doesn't become real and meaningful, and it doesn't become possible. It's only when you step outside of that old reality that it starts to become possible.
Well, John, let me ask you a question, because you bought up, you're the kind of the science guy, and how has that shifted, that whole perspective that you just described, how has that shifted with regards to quantum mechanics, quantum physics, and how all of a sudden, you know, where the old science said, well, the only way we'll believe it is we'll see it, to the point now where the whole quantum field is like, well, we have an idea of where things might end up, but it could be it's a random thing, and, you know, depending on the outside influence of whatever, right? You know what I'm talking about?
I certainly do, and I kind of, you know, I don't want to go too much into depth with it, but I want to try and get to the nub of what I think is different. That when people talk about quantum mechanics, there is a perception there that we know enough to realize that the world isn't entirely material in the kind of very solid sense, and that there's something going on that is about how energy can shift and how it can take different forms. But when you listen to the physicists who talk about quantum mechanics, or when you listen to the New Agers who talk about how quantum mechanics explains a creative consciousness relationship, there's something big missing. And that's because people say, well, it's all energy, isn't it? But the thing that really matters is, well, what is it that makes energy take the shape that it does? What is it makes it make it move in the way that it does and take the forms that it does? And what is it that enables us potentially to have a relationship where we as conscious beings actually have an effect on that energy? And the reality that makes that possible is that there's a whole web of information in the world that is how the world has come to understand itself and define itself and create itself that we are connected with and built into, so that when we use our consciousness, we are actually have an influence on this whole web of universal information. And collectively and individual, we have the power to influence that reality in terms of what we make happen and what we attract towards ourselves and what we create as our own personal realities. And that's a huge subject. I mean, I have a 400-page book called The Science of Possibility, which just about gets to the edges of how and why that works and what it is you have to take away in what people tell you about science in order to create the space for what science will tell you in the future when it really understands what's going on. And
right.
And until, you know, we can do it on faith. Lots of people are doing it on faith and experience and just knowing. You don't have to know the science. You don't have to read my book. But what is important about having a book like that is getting to the point where you truly know that what you're experiencing, that science has told you you couldn't have experienced, that science is wrong and that you're not. You know, it all started for me when I had one psychic experience that I couldn't deny, and I had to go back all my scientific training. I had to say there's something missing here. And anybody can, you know, go with their own self-knowledge on that. They don't have to know why it works. But I get passionate about it because I see the kind of prison that it creates for our current reality, that there's so many people who are intimidated to step out of what they're told reality is supposed to be, when actually that's not what reality is.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Steve, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm just putting my thoughts together. Well, I think John makes a very valid point here. We've been given a system of beliefs as to how reality operates, and when in fact we've been told this grand and terrible lie through our politicians, through school,
sure,
through the religious community, and even some of the crap that goes on in the New Age community. And I think the bottom line is, you know, the greater you are self-aware, the more you become self-empowered. And what I mean by self-aware is that I do have impact, and everything that I do, think, and say has impact, and that impact has consequence. And a lot of people don't realize that what they think, say, and do, their actions have consequence, and they don't want to own that because
sure,
it frightens them, because it says, you know, you're far more powerful than you understand and realize, and that really frightens a lot of people, and they don't want to take the responsibility for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. People don't want to be responsible. So.
Well, you know,
cool enough.
The world looks like it's spiraling down at a rapid space. I mean, there's so many chaotic energies going on. But I think as a world, as a consensus reality, we're in our adolescence and we're in the throes of becoming into our adulthood, if you will. And just like an adolescent, there's a lot of drama around that. They're going to act out, and because of the intense spiritualization that's going on, I believe is going on in this planet, it's shaking up a lot of belief systems across the planet in various cultures and in various ways. And because the dominating masculine principle has been in effect for so many hundreds of years, that the people that have used it in control are losing their grip with that control, that they're lashing out.
Yeah.
And they're creating more and more chaos and making people's lives miserable. And you can see that playing out in the Middle East. This is just a marvelous example of that. But
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you gave me, you said something a minute ago about the drama, which is kind of interesting, which is a good segue into what I want to kind of bring up. And I'll have to look up the person's name that came up with this concept, but it's called the dreaded drama triangle. And it's something that I think it's kind of probably the dominant paradigm, or has been, for each of us, and probably for the planet for I don't know how long. But and the way that it works is this: is that there's a victim, there's a persecutor, and there's a rescuer. And basically, in a nutshell, the victim sees life happening to them. They believe they're powerless. And in order to be a victim, there has to be a persecutor. And the persecutor, more often than not, is a person, but it also can be a condition or a circumstance. And when the two of them meet, they look around and they say, there has to be a rescuer in here somewhere to save me or alleviate the suffering that I'm feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that there's this triad that's built, and each of us have been the victim, we've been the persecutor, and we've been the rescuer. And there's this kind of like cyclical thing that takes place, right? One moment I can be the victim, and you can be the persecutor, and you can be the rescuer, and the next second, John will be the victim, and I'll be the persecutor, and Steve, you'll be the rescuer, right? And so then there's an awesome book, and the guy that wrote the book, his name is David Emerald, and he lives outside of Seattle. And he looked at that drama triangle, and he came up with what he called the empowerment dynamic, where the victim shifts into being a creator, right? Or they tap into their personal power, and they're able to choose how they respond to circumstances in their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
The creator knows that they're making choices. So whenever a problem comes up, they'll look at it and go, okay, what's the best choice that I can make here? The persecutor in the empowerment dynamic shifts to become the challenger, right? And the challenger, they provoke other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order for them to take something from this experience and have it be a growth experience, right? They're like teachers. It's like when John was asking Chris earlier about have you had anybody assist you on the way, right? Well, I think we all have. Now the question is, is that assistance been in the form of being a persecutor, or has it been in the form of someone being your challenger, right? And then the final piece of the empowerment dynamic, where in the drama triangle there was the rescuer, now there's the rescuer becomes the coach, right? and that coach supports and facilitates the creation and clarifying and manifestation of the creator and their outcome. So I would suggest anybody that's interested in that, I think you can probably find the book on Amazon.com called The Empowerment Dynamic, and John and I discussed the fact of trying to get David on the show at some point in the future, because I think it would be an awesome show, and the information would be really, really beneficial for people who want to become self-empowered.
Mm-hmm. Right? I agree. And I think that's a marvelous opportunity.
Right. And again,
to help this guy on.
Right. His name is David Emerald, and that's The Empowerment Dynamic. So, I think it's like how do you view the world, right? It's like that whole mm-hmm. concept of what was it, that science experiment, John, and maybe you know, where they put the kids in the room and or maybe it wasn't a science experiment, maybe it was just a story where they put these two kids in a room, and there was like this pile of horseshit, and one kid is like crying and he's upset because he can't find his toys, and the other one's really excited and says, there has to be a pony here somewhere, right? It's like how...
it's a great story, yeah.
Yeah, it's like how do we see the world? Are we seeing it from being a victim? Are we seeing it from being a persecutor or a rescuer? Are we seeing it from being, are we seeing it from the opposite? And it's like, the glass half full, glass half empty kind of thing. But
well, I would suggest that operationally there's a fourth one, and that's the self-empowered person who's neither victim nor challenger. What was the tertiary aspect?
Coach, challenger, right. And creator.
Right. And
so the creator is self-empowered, I think, in that model. I think that's
yes.
The idea.
Right.
So I think it does fill the slot you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Well, one show obviously is not going to cover this, and I think
right.
everybody's brought up some valid points here, Chris being
right.
one of them, certainly so.
And you as well, and we want to thank you for your call.
Well, my pleasure.
And invite you to join in any time.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on, Steve. And thanks to Chris, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just want to wrap up a couple of things. I started this tradition last week, and I'm going to see how long I can string this one out. And I have two items that I want to talk about in regards to life as a male and how we so God Almighty, please help us. So the douche of the week this week is a guy by the name of Mike McFadden, who is a Republican candidate for senator in the state of Minnesota. And I ran across this video, a campaign video of him, and it's a group of 10, 11, maybe 12-year-old boys who are peewee football players, American football players, talking about how great this guy is. And at the end of the clip, this guy is standing in a huddle with the boys, and one of the boys reaches out and punches him in the nuts. And then the guy, in like a squeaky voice, says, I'm Mike McFadden, and I'm running for U.S. Senate. It's like, seriously. Anyway, that's it, I think, for today. And, if you visit our website at writeaboutmen.com, email us at writeaboutmen@gmail.com.
And please feel free to nominate for douche of the week for next week.
Absolutely. So I think we had a great show today, John.
I've enjoyed it. I hope other
yeah.
people have too.
Excellent. So I don't know what we're doing next week. We're going to decide that, and we'll send out the link in the next couple of days. But I want to thank Chris and Steve for calling in, and Janet, our producer, and we'll talk to everyone next week. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.